The creature scuttles across the ground, its odd number of thin legs moving much too fast for something its size. I step off my porch, following at a safe distance as the monster enters the pool of orange light cast by the street lamp at the edge of my property. It moves up the opposite curb and over the sidewalk with all the speed of a striking snake, heading straight for the house across the street. It has the spindly legs of a black widow spider, although there are far more than eight, and there are more on one side of its long body than the other. It has the head of a jackal, but it's upside down, so the eyes are on the bottom, and the jaw opens up rather than down. The jackal's head looks to be messily attached to the body of a fat, hairy red and black caterpillar. The whole thing is about 3 feet long, standing about 2 feet off the ground on its thin legs. It scurries around my neighbor's house as I cross the street. I know what it's doing by now, so I don't try to follow it into the backyard. Instead, I head over to the front window that looks into the living room. I crouch down, peering through the bottom of the window at my neighbor where he lies on the couch, watching television. I don't have to wait long before the creature appears, coming in from the small dining room area on the other side of the living room. It sits there in the doorway between rooms, lifting its jackal head to stare at my neighbor, whose name is Dan. After about 5 minutes of staring, it inches toward Dan, who sprawled out on his couch and laughing at something on the television. The creature's mouth opens as it approaches Dan's foot, drool dripping down its snout. I bang on the window and yell out for Dan.
"What the fuck?"
I hear my neighbor say as he jumps up from the couch. The monster backs away a few feet, watching Dan storm out of the living room and toward the front door. I head away from the window to meet Dan at the door.
"What the fuck are you doing, Pete?"
Dan shouts.
"You gotta stop doing this, man. It's getting ridiculous."
"But it's in there," I say, weakly. "It was about to bite you."
"There's nothing in here, Pete. Nothing."
"Listen," Dan says.
"I know you're trying to get it together, but I have to call the police."
"No," I say. "No, I'm sorry. I'll stop. I promise."
"That's what you said last time," Dan says. "And last time, I promised that police officer that I'd call him if this happened again. Remember? You were standing right there."
"I remember," I say, unable to meet Dan's gaze. "Do what you have to do. I'll be at my house." I turn around, trying not to cringe as I hear Dan sigh behind me. It's about 30 minutes before the police show up. There are no lights or sirens, but that doesn't make it any less stressful. Hearing the car door shut, I head to my front window and watch as one of the officers, a guy named Edgar, heads over to Dan's place while Officer Davis comes to my door. I open it before he can knock.
"Hello, officer,"
I say as apologetically as I can.
"Mr. Foster,"
Officer Davis says,
"I hear you've been on your neighbor's property again. We talked about this last time, didn't we?"
"I'm sorry," I say, seeing movement out of the corner of my eye. I glance over, seeing the creature over at the corner of my yard, peeking around a bush. I try to ignore it, returning my attention to the policeman. I don't know what else to say. It all just seems so real when it's happening.
"I know you're sick,"
Officer Davis starts.
"You can say it. I have schizophrenia. It's not a swear word, and it's not like calling someone a retard," I say.
"Right,"
Officer Davis says, looking uncomfortable.
"Well, are you still seeking help for it? Still taking your meds?"
"Yes, sir, I am. Things haven't changed since the last time we talked. My doctor seems to think that the meds should be helping, and they are. But I still see these creatures sometimes."
I look over to the corner of my yard. Davis follows my gaze.
"Do you see one now?"
I nod. Davis sighs.
"Well, I don't think Mr. Saren wants to press charges.
but you've got to stop going onto his property. Eventually, he will press charges, possibly even get a restraining order. The last thing I want is for you to end up in jail. That's hard to come back from.
Especially for someone like me, I think. I have a hard enough time holding down a job as it is. Although things have been better lately, aside from still seeing the creature.
I'll stay off his property, I say. I'm sorry you had to come out here again, officer.
That's all right, Mr. Foster. Just remember what I said, okay?
I nod again, and then head back inside. The police take another few minutes to write their report. I peek out a front window at the creature where it still sits at the corner of my lawn. As soon as the police drive off, the creature looks at me, then back at Dan's house. It scurries across the street again. It's almost as if the thing is teasing me. I curse and force myself to get away from the window, pacing in my small two-bedroom house. It's not real, I tell myself. Dan's safe. He's fine. It's not real, so it can't hurt him. I repeat these words as a mantra while I pace, calming myself down. Soon enough, I don't feel the need to keep walking back and forth. I sit on my couch and take a few deep breaths, turning my focus to other things, like getting ready for bed and going to work tomorrow. After a few minutes, I have my thoughts under control. As I stand up from the couch, my mind set on brushing my teeth and taking out my contacts, I hear a faint scream come from outside. It sounds like Dan. I rush out my front door, not bothering to close it as I run across the street, my shadow shifting around me like a stalking creature as I run through the pool of light from the street lamp. I slam my palms against Dan's living room window, looking inside and letting out a terrified shriek at what I see. Dan's on his back on the living room floor next to his couch. His left leg is gone, nothing but a bloody stump remaining. The creature is there, and it has somehow gotten bigger. Dan's right leg is down the creature's gullet to the knee, and the monster is working its way up like a python swallowing its prey. Dan is delirious and probably in shock from blood loss. His head lolls on the ground, his eyes rolling up to the window and meeting mine. There's nothing but dull confusion there, and I realize he still can't see the creature. He's being eaten by nothing from his perspective. Somehow, I think that's worse than seeing the creature in all its hideousness. I run to his front door and try the knob. Locked. I think about how the creature got in and run to the backyard. Thankful there's no fence to deal with. His back door has a pet door in it, which must have been installed by the previous owner since Dan has no pets. I try the knob, but the door is locked. I'm too big to fit through the pet door, but there may be another way. I get down on my knees and stick my head and right arm through the small door, reaching up to undo the lock. I pull myself back out, stand up, and rush inside to the living room. Both of Dan's legs are gone now, and the creature is working on one of his arms. Without thinking, I kick the monster in the side. It shrieks, convulsing, and backing off of Dan's arm. The thing spins around, coming at me, snarling as its legs undulate. I turn and run back the way I came, heading for the kitchen. I locate a knife block on the counter and jump up, pulling a knife out of the block while yanking my feet up from the floor. The creature rears up, its jaws snapping together, eyes rolling with fury. I stab down with my newly acquired knife, sinking the blade into the monster's upside-down jackal head. Before I can pull the blade out, the creature yelps and retreats, scurrying out of the back door I left open. I jump off the counter and slam the door shut. Then I drag the kitchen table over, turning it on its side and pushing its top up against the back door, blocking entry through the pet door. Running back to the living room, I realize I've left my phone back at my house. I search around for Dan's phone, locating it on the couch. Yanking it up, I hear a voice come out of it. "Hello?" I say.
"Hello, this is 911 emergency. Mr. Saren, is that you?"
A woman's voice says. Dan must have dialed 911 before the creature took his left leg.
"No, this is his neighbor," I blurt out. "You have to send an ambulance. He's hurt real bad."
Okay, sir. How was he hurt?
The woman asks.
There was a thing. A creature. It took his legs.
There's a slight pause before she speaks again.
Okay. Is the threat still there?
No. I think it's gone, I say.
Okay, you say his legs are gone?
Yes.
Can you find something to stop the bleeding? If you have a belt on, you can use that. Just put it around his leg and pull it as tight as you can, and keep it tight.
I do as I'm told, staying on the line with her until the paramedics show up, at which point I unlock the front door and run outside to get them. I'm coated in blood from trying to help Dan, and the paramedics look at me with wary eyes. A wailing police cruiser shows up just as I'm turning to show the paramedics where Dan is inside the house. Officer Davis jumps out of the passenger side and levels his gun at me.
Don't move, Mr. Foster, he shouts.
I put my blood-coated hands in the air. Officer Edgar gets out of the driver's side and points his gun at me too.
What did you do, Pete?
Davis says, his voice full of dismay.
Nothing, I say. It was the creature. It's real. It took his legs.
Davis just shakes his head.
Get down on the ground and lace your fingers behind your head.
But
just do it,
Edgar shouts. I do as I'm told. They're not gentle as they arrest me. They've already found me guilty. Just another crazy guy who killed someone for no reason. They throw me in the back of their squad car and go about their business. After about 15 minutes, Davis comes back to me and opens the door.
Where are his legs? He demands.
I told you.
Don't give me that bullshit. What the fuck did you do with his legs, you sicko?
I just shake my head, tears streaming down my face.
We'll find them, Davis says. And you'll go away for a long time, you fucking psycho.
Excuse me, officer?
A man's voice says from behind the squad car. Startled, Davis looks up.
Where'd you come from?
He asks, before realizing it's a stupid question.
I need to talk to this man,
the voice says. The man moves around to the side of the squad car, bending down to look at me. He wears a dark gray suit, has salt and pepper hair, and looks like a man whose requests aren't refused very often.
Who the hell are you?
Davis asks. The man in the gray suit reaches into a jacket pocket and takes out a wallet. He opens it and shows what's inside to Davis, who shrugs.
Never heard of it. You'll need a little more than a made-up badge to fool me. What are you, press?
The man smiles. He pulls out a phone from another pocket, presses a button on it, and holds it to his ear.
Are you still there, Captain?
I can't hear the answer, but the man in the suit nods.
Great. Thank you for waiting. Here's your officer. Davis, his name tag says.
The man hands his phone over to Davis, who takes it with a bemused look on his face.
Hello?
Davis says. Then, after a moment,
yes, sir. Copy that.
Another long moment passes.
Yes, sir.
Davis takes the phone from his ear and hands it back to the man in the gray suit. Then he walks away without a word. The man in the gray suit steps to where Davis had just been and helps me out of the squad car. He holds up a pair of handcuff keys and gestures for me to turn around. He removes the handcuffs, throwing them in the back of the squad car.
Can you describe the creature to me, Mr. Foster?
He asks.
You believe me?
I don't need to believe you. I have proof that these things exist, and I've seen your file.
You're exactly the type of person that can see them.
Because I'm crazy?
Because you're schizophrenic, Mr. Foster. There's a big difference, he says. Now, I know you didn't do this. In fact, from what I understand, you tried to warn your neighbor. So I'd like to offer you a job working for me. We'll be traveling around looking for these creatures. And when we find them, when you find them, we'll capture or kill them.
There's more of them?
I ask.
How many?
Many, he says. They're all different, but they're all extremely dangerous. So what do you say, Mr. Foster? How would you like to do some good work for the world with the SCP Foundation? SCP-870 is an animal species of undetermined proportions and appearance which, for unknown reasons, can only be perceived by individuals suffering from schizophrenia. This often results in specimens of SCP-870 being dismissed as hallucinations. Specimens of SCP-870 are omnivorous and seem to eat nearly all kinds of plants and meat. Notably, the two people with the ability to perceive SCP-870 will describe its appearance in completely different ways, even when looking at the same specimen. These creatures are highly predatory and will typically stalk their prey for months or years without eating. It is unknown how they manage to last so long without succumbing to malnutrition. Eventually, at a seemingly random time when their prey is alone or in a secluded area, SCP-870 will kill and eat their prey. SCP-870's method of reproduction is currently unknown, but the Journal of One Schizophrenic Researcher speculates that they do not actually require sustenance to survive, and instead repurpose the body of their victim into their young over a long period of time. This theory has not been verified, and research is underway to test it.